Thanks for listening to the Best of the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weeknight from 10 p.m. to 2 a.m. Eastern, 7 to 11 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every night on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR.
This is the Best of the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon on Fox Sports Radio.
Fox Sports Radio, the Jason Smith Show with my best friend, Mike Harmon.
I'm an ass man.
Happy Wednesday. Well, it's going to be happy for a lot of people for, well, at least the next hour and 36 minutes. We are on a time constraint to talk about something because in an hour and 36 minutes, are we allowed to talk about baseball?
No, it's embargoed at that point. It's a reverse embargo.
The lockout is set to begin in Major League Baseball, which is why I'm glad the Mets got Max Scherzer, who spoke today in glorious tones about the New York Mets. Now he wanted to win a championship and how excited he is, and that's why he chose the Mets.
Oh, yeah, he blamed the Dodgers for a lot of stuff? Yeah, Scherzer.
$40 million a year. $40 million a year. That'll do it to you. I'll say I can win a championship anywhere. You give me $40 million.
I'm glad I'm here with the Marlins. I want to win a championship. But... after meeting for a grand total of 7 minutes today, both sides in the Major League Baseball potential lockout situation, which we know is coming, have decided, okay, no reason for us to continue to talk, and the lockout is set, tick, 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 for an hour and 35 minutes from right now. So after this, like, can I still talk about the Mets winning the World Series and how much overwhelming favorites they are and how great an owner Steve Cohen is? I mean, or is that, like, is all baseball stuff, like, is it embargoed? Is it out? Can we not talk about it?
Yeah, unless someone, you know, goes on Twitter and makes an announcement of something they bought their kids or their significant others for the holidays and want to give you gift ideas, they don't matter because the season doesn't exist. It's a myth. It's a Yeti when you're in a lockout situation. By the way, I don't think I saw people as angry, at least in my social media scanning and reading over the course of the day and preparation of the show in between cooking dinner and all those fun things. I don't think people showed the same outrage for a 7-minute meeting on a multi-billion dollar sport shutting down. You know, that just spent $1.7 billion in contracts, in new contracts in over the last week. There wasn't nearly as much angst, consternation, and vitriol as there was for the fact that Brian Kelly, who'd already left for another job, only met with players, the few that showed up, for 2 minutes after, you know, he'd already left for another job.
Well, like, how long
is it because nobody understands what's going on?
Did you really think that meeting was going to be needed to be longer than that? It's okay, yeah. You know, coach, you got us up about an hour early to tell us, yeah, you love us and you're leaving. Okay, can we go now? Can we go? Are we good? Are you coaching us? No, you're not coaching us. Okay.
Do you know? I mean, as we talked about yesterday, okay. I mean, I wouldn't have shown up. I mean, it's like, all right, you sent me the text. We know you're gone. We'll see you in hell. I mean, good luck in your new spot. I'm going to get an extra half hour of sleep, or if I'm up to working towards getting to class, I'm going to class. So, you know, it seemed completely unnecessary. Whereas trying to, you know, discuss on the final day if there might be one point that you could spend an hour or two to at least bridge the gap a bit. You know, after 7 minutes, just getting up saying, hey, I've had a couple of nice sips of coffee and walking back out the door, I think that's a much bigger deal. Yeah. And much more problematic.
Well, I'm sure it was just like in Love Actually when Billy Bob Thornton, as president of the United States, tells Prime Minister Hugh Grant, I'll give you anything you want as long as it's not something I don't want to give you.
That's a good line.
I mean, then I'm not going to do it. Look, this is what's expected. So now there's only so much time we have to get in things like, oh my God, Max Scherzer, I can't believe this. And let me just dispel one thing right away. Not so much about how much the Mets are going to win the World Series, but Max Scherzer introduced to the New York Mets, to the world as a Met, and talked glowingly about Steve Cohen and winning. This is why I love Steve Cohen as an owner, right? Because he wants to win. Scherzer talked about it, overly so. He wants to win. You see, Steve Cohen tweets out about the fans, about doing things for the fans. I mean, he wants to be beholden to them. That seeps into everything, into free agents, into the team atmosphere. Because you don't know about owners who and what their motivations might be. They might say, oh, yeah, we want to win. But really, you know, we're not going to spend any more money. This is the last time. You got to go in with this team. I'm not spending any more money. That's not who Steve Cohen is. Steve Cohen's a guy. He's a fan. Like, he won a contest to buy a team, and the contest was being graded hedge funds. And, you know, and now he gets to do what he wants. And being beholden to the team is certain things, like, even though it's embarrassing when during the middle of the season there were concerns about the clubhouse and is Luis Rojas getting out of the clubhouse. And he said, hey, guys, I just went down to the clubhouse. Everything is great. Like, he went to go check on the team for us. Like, hey, I think I heard some noise upstairs. Can you go up and check and see if the kids are asleep? Yeah, let me go do it. You go up and come down and go, yeah, the kids are asleep. That's fine. I think the bottle fell out of the crib. It's all good. The kids are asleep. And, you know, Steve Cohen saying, hey, I just spent time with the team. Everything is fine. I mean, it was embarrassing, but I love that he did that because he wanted to be beholden to the fans. And when you're beholden to fans, it means you're beholden to winning. And when you're beholden to winning, you're going to get those players that you need to change that clubhouse culture, like Max Scherzer. Because as good of a player as he is, you've heard so many times, so many stories about other players on other teams following him around, being told to follow him around, prepare like Max Scherzer does. This is how you're going to be successful. He's a big culture changer, right? I could say all of these things, and they're all accurate about Max Scherzer. But the main thing I want to hit on is this before you know, because look, we don't have a lot of time because the blockout's coming.
So we had to get our Mets talk.
Yeah, yeah, we got to get
Steve Cohen had his Frank Langella day. We had a great day.
Listen, you know, we got Chris Taylor to get to. We got Marcus Stroman decides he's going to the Cubs and he tells everybody before there's a story on it. I mean, we got other baseball stuff, but for all of the general criticism, which, hey, whenever certain teams sign players, there's going to be a large amount of the population that says, oh, this sucks because. And the number one thing I've seen from everybody, including Frostburg, who tells me, he's got a dead arm. Yes, he was a little tired and had to come out an inning or so early after the Dodgers used him to close out the series against the Giants. If the Mets sign him and his arm is dead, first of all, you think, and look, I know it's the Mets.
You would just say Mets,
yeah.
Yo.
Yeah, yeah, I would just say Mets, yo. But this is where it's not even about the Mets, because I want to think the Mets, you know, put him through an exam and looked at his elbow and said, okay, everything is fine. Look, they didn't sign Kamara Rocker coming out of Vanderbilt because they were concerned about his arm. But Scott Boras would never have the trust of any organization again. Never. And the good clients that he has, if the Mets signing Max Scherzer, if Max Scherzer's arm was dead and he couldn't throw a strike, and that gets out now, because clearly we would know right away. We'd know in April or May or whenever the Major League Baseball season begins with the lockout coming. It would be, boy, can't trust Scott Boras anymore, because he's going to just drive up the price. He's going to sell me damaged goods. If there's any concerns of health about a guy, I'm not going to do it. And not only is Scott Boras not going to do that because of his own reputation, he would do it because his clients would lose out. Hey, I'm not getting an offer here because people still think I'm hurt because of Max bleeping Scherzer. Meanwhile, my arm is fine. I got a bionic arm, man. I got all kinds of body parts from four Major League Baseball players. Are you kidding? I got all kinds of great stuff in me. And teams would say, nah, we don't know. You might be hurt. Boras did it with the Mets. That would hurt Scott Boras so badly. It would hurt him and his reputation and people he represents, and people would leave him and not go to him as new clients. That's what would happen if Max Scherzer had a dead arm, because it's so close from now to when we would find out. Now, if he's got a dead arm in a year and a half, what could I do? But if he's an ace this year and him and DeGrom and it's World Series or bust, hey, let's do it. But the dead arm stuff, I am not concerned about that. I have no concern.
Right, but even if it became an issue in season again, doesn't mean he's got a dead arm right now. Right? How many of you on the side of the road listening across this vast Fox Sports Radio network nationwide, you know, you'd go to the mechanic, hey, I'm hearing something like this, right? And then they can't replicate it, and they tell you to beat it. And then you go home, and it's the same noise or same issue again, and you go back, I'm telling you, we got a problem here. Like right now, for Max Scherzer, he's in the, hey, my arm's fine mode. Passed all physicals, everything's good, and names on the dotted line, give me my money. And everybody's happy for now. But that doesn't mean 6 months from now. I mean, you could be right into the early parts of the season and have something go wrong. I mean, that's unfortunately the frailty of the human body when you're trying to throw the ball 100 miles an hour and using the torque that you do. Stuff is going to happen. And look, everybody's And there's been a lot of folks in L.A. wishing him poorly, a lot of anger that, you know, because he threw some shade back to L.A. and handling and whatever, and that's fine. It's part of the gamesmanship of it all, and just saying, hey, looking forward to a new start going, and I want the responsibility of this team and the pressure that goes with being in New York. Saying all the right things. We'll see how that works if he goes through a slump or has some kind of issues or physically he's not right. So the back page of the fish wrap is about him not being able to take the ball every fifth day. We'll see how much he responds to that other than looking at his bank account saying, hey, that part of the $40 million cleared, right? But it is in the moment, right? I can't say the guys – damn it, they wouldn't be able to go through with all the – if he passes a physical, that's on the Mets.
Yeah.
Right? Let's call it what it is, right? I mean, because it's not like they're going to say, all right, you're going to throw today, and then tomorrow we're going to simulate you coming in to pitch to five batters in a playoff game, and then we're going to try to run you again on 3 days rest. That's how we're going to simulate whether your arm's still dead. No, that's foolhardy. It's not going to happen. So right now, all of that talk, you put it in a nice bucket. Maybe you make it a nice paragraph on the Wikipedia page and you hold it because maybe it comes up again. Maybe it doesn't. But right now, it's not an issue for the Mets. They celebrate the signing of their new $40 million a year pitcher. And Steve Cohen looks like a genius for assembling a rock star team. And in an hour and a half, we'll never mention them again.
Mm. Like the Mets doctor is Dr. Nick Riviera. And he's showing up. Hey, everybody.
Hey, man, we've seen how many times do we look at NFL teams and Major League Baseball teams and wonder what the hell's going on in the training room? I'm not saying that couldn't happen, right? I'm not saying there might have been, you know, hey, what was that? No, that was barbecue sauce. I was having lunch when they brought me all the x-rays, but it really wasn't. So, yeah, it's one of those situations. Everybody wants to get upset about it. I think it's really just about you.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon weekdays at 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
And TJ, don't forget me when I'm gone. Don't forget Major League Baseball because now they are in a lockout.
Prepare yourself. Prepare yourself.
You are now meeting the Grand Master.
The lockout is beginning. Prepare yourself. Prepare yourself. Prepare yourself.
We got the scream in. That's,
I know.
So,
well,
good.
You asked for the scream like four times. I figured Tyshirt knew I got to put the scream in.
Well, I would have just done the scream as I did earlier.
That's like when we get in the car to go pick up Zoe from school and Pam will say, what do you want to do? I go, you know, we can go to Starbucks or something if you want. She goes, okay, I was thinking maybe we could stop at Target real fast. I go, yeah, or we could go to Starbucks too. You know, there's a Starbucks right near there. Yeah, well, then after Target, we got to go to the library, return that book. I go, yeah, there's a Starbucks right there. We could probably go to Starbucks too. It's like, okay, then she knows I want to go to Starbucks.
Hey, what's the number one rule in advertising? Repetition, baby. Make people know about the product and goods and services you are offering. Exactly.
I didn't know this was going to be so fun. Not that the lockout is fun. No, but actually talking about the lockout is fun because yes, we are in a Major League Baseball lockout. It is past midnight on the East Coast. And neither side was able to come to an agreement after a 7-minute bargaining session earlier today. So now we're in a lockout. And as you heard Ralph Ervin say, there was one big trade made before the deadline. Hunter Renfro gets dealt, and boy, he's having a great PPR year. He gets traded in exchange for Jackie Bradley Jr. Now everything is done. Marcus Stroman is a Cub, or so he tells us. And Max Scherzer is a Met, and he met the media today, and it was glorious and awesome. But now we're in a lockout. And, you know, I just about this for a couple seconds, because did you really need to meet for 7 minutes? Was there anything? I mean, what could possibly, like, did you really? Well, we'll sit down. You never know. Maybe the other side's going to say, we don't really want to lock out. Well, just put a piece of paper in front of me and we'll sign it. I mean,
hey,
really,
7-minute abs works. If you just do that repeatedly, you'll get to great abs. So maybe they thought, you know, that was the start point.
Somebody could have come up with 6 minutes ads. It could have worked.
7 minutes in heaven was going to be
the completion
of a deal.
Another hour before we can talk about that. Okay, another hour for that. All right, just so you know. I mean, really, I don't understand what 7 minutes worth of it was. Again, unless it's just so each side can say, "Yeah, I was a badass man. I walked in and I said blank you, and he said blank you too, man." And I said I liked the first episode of Hawkeye. And I said I hated the first episode of Hawkeye. Oh yeah, let's fight. Let's go. And then they walked out and said, "Okay, that was good. That was good. Yeah, great. Oh, I told him some. Yeah, you know what I told him? He said, "Hey, we want all kinds of stuff." I said, "We're not going to give you anything. There's the deal is on the table." And now both sides can save face, and now we can get to the point of a lot of days where there's potentially some small news that is always making it look bleaker than it is. Right, so just prepare for that, because that's going to be what it is now in Major League Baseball. Every little bit of news that is leaked as far as the negotiations are going, and are, you know, we're counting down to the beginning of spring training, because look, it's a long way to go now. All right, the lockout is here, so yes, it's newsworthy, it's right here, but you have the rest of December, which everybody's going to be worried about the NFL and, you know, how many points Buddy Boeheim's going to score in his next game. They'll be worried about Christmas and the new year. Then it's going to be, oh, well, the beginning of spring training is in jeopardy. And then it's, and then we're going to say, well, but is that really that big a deal? Is that a real timetable? No. Oh, there's going to be no time for any kind of ramp up. We're going to have to play regular season games right away. Yeah, okay, okay. I mean, there's a long time between now and the end of March, beginning of April. But every single bit of news that comes out, none of it is going to be good. So just understand that, right? Because I know looking at the news sometimes is extremely depressing. You know, you look at news today, it was just one of those bad news days where so many depressing things were going on. And I get it. It's tough. So understand that when this stuff comes out, this is not bad news. This is all posturing. You're going to get something from Jeff Passan or whoever else, you know, Ken Rosenthal, John Paul Morosi, because they're going to be talking to people involved in the negotiations, what's going on. And you're going to get from people a doom and gloom picture. And they're going to be accurate quotes represented by whatever message the owners or the players union wants to get out, because they want to make it seem like, hey, things are rough and it's not our fault. You know, they'll play this game in the media for a long time. There is a long way to go. But everything that comes out, there's nothing that's going to be doom and gloom on December 10th that's going to make it, oh, we're not going to have a season. It's all about posturing. So just understand the bad news is not bad news, all right? That's not going to be a part of it. Now, what I will say is the difficult part for me, Mike, is that the overall emergency break has always been, we can't miss games, right? We can't miss games. Can't miss games in the regular season. That's an awful thing, right? Whether it was football or basketball, you're missing games and suddenly the clock is ticking and then you got both sides in a staring contest. This is the rough part for me, is that because of COVID, we had the owners miss and lose a lot of revenue. And guess what? Baseball still going on, right? Ratings are up. You know, teams are making money again. Players missed a lot of money. And guess what? They're all playing. They're all still doing well. They have experienced what a near entire season without baseball has been. So once you've experienced that, that's no longer an emergency break. If we want to miss the first month, players will say, I'll sacrifice that first month to get what we want. I'll sacrifice the first 2 months to get what we want. I'll sacrifice till the All-Star break. And owners will say the same thing. I had to go with no money for the entire season until some crazy ass 30 games at the end of August. I can go April and May and into June with that if I want to get what I want. That's the one thing to watch out for is when, once this thing begins and you start ticking into the season, because neither side has a bit of, we have to get this going so we all wind up making money and don't miss games. They have seen what the realities have been like by missing games and they've survived it. It's not their favorite thing. It's not going to be their first choice, but it's no longer the deterrent to being able to solve things that it used to be. Well, we can't miss games. We can't miss salary. We can't miss it. No, we've seen that, and the game is still going on, and it jumped back pretty fast, and players made big money, and guys are signing big contracts already, even in the face of a lockout. The Mets just gave Max Scherzer $130 million for 3 years. So, yeah, that's not going to stop things. That, to me, is the big one, is that we've gone through, hey, wherever we've had no games, and everything has been all right. So that's clearly not going to be something that stops this from ending.
Well, you talk about the contracts that go out. We're looking at $1.7 to $1.8 billion talking about the health of the game. And certainly there's always just that long-term, you know, remaining viable, remaining that you're growing and trying to be smart about the business moving forward, right? You're going to all DH. There's some folks that are still upset about that. What are you doing with rosters long-term? I mean, there's a lot of issues at stake in this current negotiation, and we won't bog down things with the details. We'll do that in a special podcast where we just read them line for line. As if we're right, just going to do the entire CBA. That'll be fun listens, no questions about it. But, you know, to your point about, hey, we've done this before. See, that was an externality that they couldn't control because nobody wanted to give away that money. They realized they could, but given the choice, I don't know that we don't have, like, you could say this was the 11th hour deal, right? Like if something had been struck tonight. Well, does it really affect anything in December? No. Does it really affect anything the beginning of January? No. Once we get to February and we start talking about spring training and starting into the business of baseball 2022, then yeah, then all of a sudden it's like, all right, now this becomes real. Because in the moment, it's not real money being lost. I mean, I suppose folks that were potentially going to buy ticket packages, right? The 8-game ticket plans or whatever. Maybe they tell you to beat it because you're not giving them assurances that any of those April games will be available when some of the best giveaways are there. I mean, let's call it what it is. I mean, you're going to get the magnetic schedule, maybe a bobblehead or two. If there were any milestones hit by members of your team the year before, you're going to get some commemorative tchotchke there. I mean, you know, you might actually lose some short-term gain where you won't have the revenue off ticket sales as the float. But I can't believe either side is going to go when it actually matters and say, you know what, we'll give up April and May. Now, if the means to the end is, hey, we should have a shorter season anyway, that's the antithesis of everything they're fighting about. Like right now it's about expanding games, figuring out how to jam a few more playoff games in so we can get some more TV revenue and hike those charges back to our partners. So I think you'll eventually get the deal struck. It's just the right now the minutia. The devil is in the details to where nobody wanted to budge and look like, you know, the NFLPA does each and every time they go to the negotiating table.
So we have some tweets from people who think this is what could have gone on the 7 minutes. Ooh. That could have pushed the lack of negotiations moving past that. You ready? We have some ideas.
Oh, I can't wait.
7 minutes. This one from Gabrielle says, one side, pineapple belongs on pizza. Side two, that's it, lockout. You know, I would say that would be a non-starter for me. Pineapple on pizza. If the player said we want pineapple on pizza, yeah, no, lockout. Lockout's coming.
Yeah, no, I mean, pineapple is a very divisive topic.
It is. And how can you find, it's so hard to find something divisive on pizza. I mean, what do you want? How many times when you order pizza with your friends, your family, what do you want? Anything. All right, and anything is cheese, extra cheese, pepperoni, sausage, meatballs, onions, peppers, mushrooms, anything. I'll eat anything. And then it's, what if I get pineapple? Oh, whoa, what do you mean pineapple? What is that? You can get almost anything else. Why? It's really hard to be divisive on pizza, man. That's why pineapple's a bad deal.
It still sells, and you can keep it in a can, and then when that person comes through and orders it, it's there.
Open up that can of pineapples. Hey, it expired in 2014. Open it up. Somebody ordered
it. It's been working in its own juices. It's fine.
You know, they'd eat it if it was a zombie apocalypse, and they'd be happy with it. Open it up and put it on that pizza.
Damn right.
More pizza. The upset pick says Union wanted Domino's. MLB was like, nah, you got Red Baron.
Oh, ooh, the Red Baron.
Wow.
Now we're talking. I haven't had a Red Baron pizza in a long time.
Isn't Red Baron like the pizza restaurant? They should call that Red Baron. When you're in the middle of nowhere, there's always a Red Baron. Like there's anywhere close where anybody lives. No, but if you're, like, you're out on the road, like you're at a sports tournament or you're on the way, so where are we going to stop to eat? We're halfway there. Oh, there's a Red Baron. Oh, great. We'll stop there. Like Red Baron, where nobody else is.
See, I always knew it as the in the frozen section, and it was commonly referred to as the cardboard pizza. And I grew up in Chicago. It was very low on the depth chart.
Nick says, hey, baseball just saw the Mets were signing everyone and were like, season's canceled. That would be a very thing to happen to the Mets. We got our best team ever.
The other 29 owners just say to hell with it. The Mets could be relevant again, so we're not doing this.
He'd still hang that banner at Citi Field. The year we should have won, it would unfurl, and you would hear the trumpets blaring. Oh, then that would be so Mets.
The year without a Santa Claus caused by the Mets.
You want
to learn how to play that horn bit right there.
You go see the Heat Miser. That's Rob Manfred. I'll go see the Cold Miser. Just one last thing here. The parties hereby agree that hot dogs shall be characterized as sandwiches in all official communications transmitted by the league and the Players Association. Players, beat it. Owners, we approached you in good faith. That's a pretty good one. Quarantine age wasteland with that one. That's a pretty good one. Because a hot dog is not a sandwich. I mean, I'll be honest, it's not a sandwich.
No,
I can win this easily. It's not a sandwich. You know why? Because if I handed you a hot dog without any bun on it, what would you say that item is? If I handed it to you, what would you say it is?
Weird tube shaped.
I'm just saying, if I had a hot dog in my hand and I handed it to you and I gave it to you, what would you say it was? You would say it was a hot dog, right?
Yeah.
If I gave you a hot dog in a bun with mustard on it, what would you say I gave you? I gave you a hot dog. So if the bread is irrelevant because it's a hot dog, whether it's with no bread or with bread, so how is it a sandwich? It's not a sandwich.
Ooh.
That's tough to argue with that, isn't it?
You really sit up late at night thinking about this stuff, don't you?
Well, because certain things that I'm really passionate about, I will tell you, a hot dog is not a sandwich. Die Hard is a Christmas movie. All of these things.
It is that season for Die Hard.
It is. Twitter at @AboutAFresca. Mike gets swollen dome, so we are now in the age of a lockout. The first lockout in Major League Baseball since 1990.
Prepare yourself. You are now meeting the Grand Master.
Be sure to catch live editions of the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon weekdays at 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Pacific.
Hey, this is Jason McIntyre. Join me every weekday morning on my podcast, Straight Fire with Jason McIntyre. This isn't your typical sports pod pushing the same tired narratives down your throat every day. Straight Fire gives you honest opinions on all the biggest sports headlines, accurate stats to help you win big at the sports book, and all the best guests. Do yourself a favor and listen to Straight Fire with Jason McIntyre on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is the first step that Rob Manfred wanted to take in the lockout. I'm going to put out a statement blaming the players, and now I'm going to take them all away from the website. Okay? Just step back for a second and take a deep breath. It's a lot to take in. In any business, you know going forward, you need both sides to be able to work together. Now, maybe you're not always happy with a negotiation, but you need to be able to work together. You need to be able to come into work and know, all right, maybe we disagree on things or I don't like you, but in the end, hey, I'm getting paid. Good things are happening for me. Good things are happening for you. We're going forward. This is why labor peace is so important. But it's always about working together, right? You may hate seeing the guy across the table from you. Roger Goodell may hate seeing DeMaurice Smith. Oh, well, he actually may like it.
No, he kind of likes that.
He wins all the negotiations with DeMaurice Smith. But it needs to be something where at least we're in it together. I have never seen Roger Goodell put out a statement about when the NFL is negotiating for whatever it is, where he talks about the players with so much disdain as Rob Manfred does. In no sport do I see the commissioner talking. Adam Silver, if he tried that with the players, oh my God, they would overthrow him and he'd be out. They would just pull him out and guys would be sitting around in Adam Silver's office in New York going, hey, I'm the commissioner now. This is great. No other sport would you see that. You would not even as bad as tooth and nail and it gets, and the players can't stand Roger Goodell. They can't stand the guy. And I understand it. But I've never seen Goodell put out a statement where he treats the players with such distaste. and the disdain and the necessary evils that they are. And maybe that's how Roger Goodell does view players in the NFL, but he doesn't come out and say it, or he doesn't come out and imply it. And Rob Manfred clearly implies that, and he says it. Right. I keep going back to his statement from the World Series a year ago. I can't wait to give the World Series trophy to a deserving owner. Right. You know, he can't.
The hunk of metal.
Everything he does is anti-player. And you can be pro-owner without being anti-player. That's the whole thing. Yes, he works for the owners, and I get that. But you can be pro-owner without being anti-player. But no, it's like Manfred revels into being anti-player. And yeah, I want to win the negotiation, but I just don't want to win it. I want to win it and give you nothing. You know, and that's, I'm sorry, but Rob Manfred is not the commissioner of the owners in Major League Baseball. He's the commissioner of Major League Baseball. And that's something that's lost on him this entire time. And that's the first thing I would tell him is that, dude, you came right out of the gate. This is December 1st. Okay, it's December 1st, and it's a big story, and people are going to be looking for people to blame, and you decided to come right out of the gate and say the players don't know what they're talking about. The players are X, Y, and Z, the players. And now tomorrow, wait till you see the tweets coming from all the different players in Major League Baseball, what they're all going to say about Rob Manfred. And it's going to be extremely combative right from the get-go, and it's December 1st. Right, there's at least you could put out a statement saying, "Hey, I'm sorry. We're gonna bring you the game of baseball that you love. There are situations right now that we're trying to figure out. There'll be more details on the way, and then you figure out how you want to leak things. And you know, I want to make sure people know that the players are asking for this, and we can't give them that. It's not a great ask. There's so much time for it because, like I said, it's December 1st. But here comes Manfred right away." This is why we can't do it, and we've tried, and they haven't tried. Why are you making this so adversarial? Why are you doing this right away? This is the mark of a guy that clearly would love to just be able to say, here's baseball. The worst part about baseball is we have to play the games. I'd like to not play the games. I'd like to be able to have owners have teams and be able to sell merchandise and trot out some old players who can tip their cap and have fans come to the ballpark and spend $100 a ticket just to clap for 5 minutes and go home. That's what I'd like to do. The worst part for me are the games. The worst part are the games and the playoffs and the season. I want everything else, but I don't like the games. That's what Rob Manfred is doing here with Major League Baseball. That's why this is Rob Manfred's MLB.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon weekdays at 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
He is on Twitter, at Rick Bucher. That is at Rick Bucher, FS1, NBA insider extraordinaire, longtime friend of the show. Rick, what's happening, my man? How are you?
I am doing well, gentlemen. I hope you had a great Thanksgiving holiday and that you have been nice enough that Christmas is going to be just as pleasant. Or Hanukkah.
Well, I hope so. But I kind of have a bone to pick with you because, you know, the last time you were on the show, you talked about what a great run the last few days has been for the Knicks. And, boy, you're happy. And then I get that craptastically officiated game last night. And I go, you just jinxed us. Everything was going great till you said, boy, what a last great couple of days you had.
They stayed close with the Brooklyn Nets when they had no business staying close to the Brooklyn Nets. So I have no idea what you're talking about. Overjoyed that they were not embarrassed in the Barclays Center. That's my story, and I'm sticking to it.
See, that was part of what was a difficult night for Jason yesterday, Rick, in that, you know, being the Q's guy, we had Buddy Boeheim on. So he was out to dinner with his dad, so he was all mad and trying to call in feverishly. So between that and a Knicks loss, it was the perfect storm for him.
Yeah, well, you know what? I there are times where I will take on your burdens, Jason, but this is not one of them, okay? You're going to have to walk this. You're going to have to walk this sorry path all by your damn self.
Well, that's okay. Let me tell everybody that Rick's got a big piece coming up soon for the Fox Sports app on why Buddy Boeheim is the number one pick in the draft. It's going to be a 10,000-word opus, interviews with his entire family, so be on the lookout for that. Speaking of the app, you did have a big piece out about the Warriors and the Suns. Look, clearly the two best teams in the league up until this point. It is early. They had the big showdown went the Suns' way. You talked to a lot of people around the league, and I know playoffs is a long time away, but which team do executives and evaluators think, hey, this is the better team here?
Yeah, with them facing each other twice this week, I think everybody's focused on, you know, what happens this week and who wins. And obviously the Suns got the first one. But in talking to an array of a half dozen or more of execs, scouts, coaches around the league, they're all of the belief that when we get to the playoffs, that the Golden State Warriors are better suited to be the team that ultimately comes out of the West, which I found is a little bit of a surprise in that you have the Phoenix Suns to basically bring back 10 guys from the team that went to the finals last year. And the only real question you have is, can Chris Paul stay healthy? But otherwise, you would expect that that team overall is going to get better, and that collective experience would put them over the top as far as a playoff team is concerned. Because you're looking at the Warriors with Juan Toscano-Anderson and Jordan Poole and even Andrew Wiggins, any number of guys that are part of that team that have little or no playoff experience. But their view is that, one, this is as good as the Phoenix Suns may get. Like, you don't know that they're going to get appreciably better. Where the Warriors are right there neck and neck with them, and they're expecting Klay Thompson back at some point, and they're expecting James Wiseman back at some point, and they didn't have Andre Iguodala playing the other night. And so when it comes to the playoffs, if you take the first 5, 6, 7 players the Warriors have, they could very well go with a rotation of guys that have won a championship and in some cases multiple championships, as opposed to the Suns, who have 10 guys who have been to the finals but still don't know what it's like to win at all. So there were a number of factors that they all – and what I found interesting is that each person that I talked to had a different reason for believing that the Warriors would be the better playoff team. One was that you've got the best player between both teams and Steph Curry. One was the motivation factor, greater motivation factor for the Warriors, their offense and their versatility, and obviously the collective experience at the top of the atop of the rotation. So a multitude of reasons why people were picking them. And it surprised me a little bit because they did say they don't think the difference is that great, and there is a chance that the Suns could come out on top, but they're very leery of the Suns being as Chris Paul dependent as they are. And I think that was the number one reason why they have their doubts about, can the Suns be this all season long?
Check out all that work, the Fox Sports app. Check out Rick's commentary and, well, blowback at Jason Smith for some of his Knicks love. At Rick Bucher on Twitter as well. R.I.C.
We may just have to have a separate, like, column.
Okay.
And we'll call it blowback.
I like
it. Blowback.
Well,
Jay.
See, there's the – hey, you could pitch that as a show over at FS1.
Yes. Yes, without question. And we'll just have – we'll have the little up in the little square up in the corner with Jason's face.
I like that. Me or Buddy Boeheim's face. Either one. Either face would work.
Okay, now you're killing the bit. Look, LeBron James out at least 10 days, needs the 2 negative tests. Lakers get the win over Sacramento. They're above 500. But between that and tweeting out something fishy going on here, we've got the Lakers, the constant source of entertainment and fear here in Los Angeles.
Yeah, you know, I hate to complain. You sound like the grumpy old guy on the porch when you complain about what players, you know, do on social media. But I'm so tired of guys who have millions of followers, whether it's LeBron or it's Kyrie or just about anybody, and they put out these mysterious tweets, and then we all like get all hot and bothered. What does he mean by that? Is he talking about COVID? Is he talking about something else? Is he talking about Adam Silver? Like what is – would you stop? Would you stop? Are you catfishing us? What are you doing? Are you trolling us? And we shouldn't take the bait. So I have no idea what that tweet means. I do believe that – if you ever wondered whether this was just a star-crossed season for the Lakers,
We're what, 20? We're 20, 25 games in, and LeBron James is now missing time for what, the third time this season? And they still, you know, the Kings win the other night aside. The Pistons win without him aside. It is, I just, they are so LeBron dependent that I don't, and him missing as many games as he had for a variety of reasons, I just don't see a happy ending to this story for Lakers fans at this point. But what I'll come back to it. I just, I don't know about you guys. I mean, look, sometimes it makes for good fodder for us and it gives us something to talk about, but it's so banal, is it not? It's like, what are we doing? Can we just ignore when, and whether it's an athlete or a celebrity or whoever it is, throws out some cryptic tweet and we lose our minds trying to figure out what it is? I feel like we should just delete the account, or that, like, maybe they need to go into Twitter purgatory for a week for toying with us like that. And I can't even tell you why it bothers me so much right now. I can just tell you, you know what it is? It's freaking, Jason's got his problems, and now on top of it, LeBron apparently has his problems. And that's just two people that should never have problems in their lives, or advertise the fact that they have problems in their lives, because otherwise they have a pretty sweet life. I think I just came to the conclusion of why it bothers me so much.
See, I think it's also, you must have spent some time on your personal Facebook account earlier, and someone said, "Oh, what a day." And you're like, what happened? And then you found six more people that had the same thing.
See, I'm not on Facebook. That is the one platform that I excise from, largely because somehow they locked me out of my account. And I was like, I tried everything I could to get back in. And then I was like, fine, you don't want me on Facebook? I don't want to be on Facebook. I'm not going to be on Facebook. It was very childish of me, but I'm actually really glad that I did it. It's one less thing for me to get worked up about.
Well, two things. Number one, I actually had you banned from Facebook because you had too many anti-Knicks posts. So I had you banned from that. That's first thing.
So Jason, before we go any further, let's just make it clear. There is no such thing as having too many anti-Knicks posts. There is that bar has never been set.
Okay.
And if it was, it was moved a long time ago.
All right. Well, here's now where I'm going to help you, right? Because if I have you banned, I want to help you get them. Want to help you, get great mental space and feel good about things. Next time you break a story about something, instead of breaking, hey, so-and-so agrees to a, 6-year, $240 million contract extension, tweet out, whoa, guess who just agreed to a 6-year, $200 million extension? Wow, so, big news.
So, you know what? Here's the thing. So I got a crazy text over the holiday weekend about somebody suggesting to Jeannie Buss that LeBron James be made the player coach. And that they're going to bring Bill Laimbeer in as kind of his second in command and his whip cracker, right?
Oh, it was a holiday weekend. People might have hit the wine watching the Raider game.
Yeah. So anyway, I thought it was an interesting thing to think about. Like, if you can't, technically you can't, they banned player coaches. It's weird. It's not written in the CBA specifically, but the league has kind of let teams know we don't want player coaches. It's an unfair benefit or advantage. We just don't want to go down that road. So it couldn't technically happen, but I was intrigued by the idea of, would LeBron want to do it because it would be a feather in his cap, another feather in his cap that Jordan doesn't have. And, you know, just the ins and outs of what, would he want to do it or would he wouldn't want to do it if he could. But I thought, God, it would be so clickbaity if I did a podcast on that and then I put the headline, LeBron is player coach, ? I just thought, no, I can't do that, because this would be taken way too seriously. So all I said was a wild Lakers coaching change rumor. And sure enough, somebody listened to it and texted me back and said,
damn it, that was such a clickbait headline. I can't believe you did that. I'm like, I tried to avoid that. What are you talking about?
And then you said, when my check clears from the ads, from all the clicks I got, I'll send you a bottle of wine, pal.
I will say that particular episode did do very well.
Rick Bucher with us, the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon, live from the Fox Sports Radio studios. All right, now, not because I wanted to ask another question about the Knicks, but it just so happens that we talked about the Lakers and what they could possibly do, what other teams are doing, and now you're starting to see some potential dominoes maybe be available in trade. Maybe now Kemba Walker has fallen out of favor with the Knicks, and he could be had. Maybe John Wall, you know, the return could be a predication or a precursor to a trade. Are we going to start seeing big names come up here, and we could start seeing the rumor mill churn on this for a bit?
Yeah, I mean, I think as soon as we get past, December 15th, when some of the signings over the summer become, when some of the more contracts or all the contracts, not all, but most contracts become eligible to be moved. The number one, the interesting thing for me will be, I think it's as of December 15th, if the Lakers wanted to move Russ Westbrook, they could. And so the question will be, are they going to look at that? Is LeBron going to have them look at it, or is he going to stick with the idea? No, I wanted Russ here, and so we're going to ride this out and see if we can make it work. I know there's a lot of people out there saying you can't trade Russ Westbrook. Look, he's been traded two times already with a huge contract. I don't know that it's impossible to move him. John Wall is an interesting question, just because the contract is so big. It's so big and unwieldy. You know, unless you had cap room, I don't know how you absorb that contract. You'd have to have a really equally bad contract to send the other way. And, you know, Kemba might be out of favor in New York, and maybe the Knicks would be willing to roll the dice on that. But if you could make it work, you can't trade Kemba's contract for John's contract as of right now. They don't come close. And I don't know that you'd want to give up other assets that the Knicks have, even if they had a contract big enough to backfill, to make that work. That's the biggest issue with John, is that the teams that might have cap room are rebuilding teams. You don't have any use for John Wall if you're a rebuilding team. And on the other hand, if you're a team gunning for a title or even a playoff spot, and you might be able to use John Wall, the pieces that you would have to give up, the contracts that you would give up, doesn't make it worth it. So that's where they're in a real difficult position. I think the thing for me with John, and one of the reasons why I think he wants to come back and play, knowing that he isn't, isn't likely to get moved this season and play elsewhere, is simply, and I would say this for Ben Simmons and Kyrie Irving and all these guys, like, maybe John Wall's a little far down the path, but you look at some of the guys that are making the Hall of Fame and the numbers that they have collected in order to make it. And, as of right now, John Wall's Hall of Fame percentage of getting in, according to Basketball Reference, is 32%, which isn't great, but was higher than I thought it would be. But that's actually higher than what Reggie Miller's was. And Reggie got in, 5 years ago or whatever. So I'm looking at some of these guys and I'm thinking, do you realize that you are maybe affecting your legacy or your career numbers by sitting out all this time or missing a season in your prime, that could be the difference? And I don't know whether that matters to any of these guys, but I think that's one of the things that I look at now. And the idea that I made the NBA, I realized my dream, and now playing in the NBA is optional because of whatever reason, is a really a disappointing development for me when it comes to seeing guys who, for one reason or another, have voluntarily decided I don't want to play in the NBA. When I guarantee you that when they were 15, 16, 17 years old, their dream was simply to get to the NBA.
He's on Twitter, at Rick Bucher. That is at Rick Bucher. Don't forget, on the Fox Sports app, Suns or the Warriors, who is more primed for the postseason? And don't forget, yes, coming soon, 10,000 words, why Buddy Boeheim is the number one pick in the NBA draft. Rick, as always, buddy, appreciate your time. We'll talk
right
to you
after I do the big expose on Bones Highland, only because I'd rather say Bones Highland than Buddy Boeheim.
Blowback with Rick Bucher.
Yeah, blowback with Rick Bucher. We got Buddy Buckets. Now that flows. If blowback with Bucher has Buddy Buckets, I mean, you have to make that your first joke.
Yeah, baby.
Yeah. All right. Take it easy, buddy. We'll talk
see
to you,
Rick.
He's got to lower his voice, too. It's blowback with Bucher. We got Buddy Buckets on with us right now. Buddy Buckets, what's going on?
Well, I don't know that Rick smokes.
No, doesn't
it
matter.
It takes some years to get to that.
You can
to
affect
lower
the
it.
Voice. You may only be able to do a podcast for a few minutes, but you can still do it.
I was going to say, I mean, you could do it as an open. Hey, what was the cool guy that did your open? Well, I could make my voice do this. It's like Alex Brightman, who was Beetlejuice on Broadway. Normally, you know, just very bright and loud and boisterous. And then he goes into he can do something with his throat. So all of a sudden he's got this crazy affected voice in characters. Like, how the hell do you do that? And why can you do 8 shows a week? It's like, well, I've got this weird physical thing that allows me to do it without hurting myself. It's like, most of us don't have that, Jason. And you would potentially mess up Rick Bucher forever.
Hey, we're saving money. I'm the host. I'm also the voice guy. Hey, I get paid to do jobs for what?
Be sure to catch live editions of the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon weekdays at 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Pacific.